And this is an early group of our Beltane Festival staff getting a photograph for the newspapers. This is my first Dragon by Robin. Let's see.
Some of you may or may not know that even though dragons have a bad rap in Western civilization, they abduct virgins and they sit on treasures, neither of which they know what to do with.
That's a quote from Joe.
But in Oriental mythology, the dragon is a very auspicious creature, and this is a very auspicious dragon.
This is a spring dragon, the green dragon of the spring. So even in the European traditions, in the Middle Eastern traditions, you still have the spring dragon who brings the rains so that the horses can do the thunder dance. And this is the first year. He was very young. He had just been hatched out of a giant paper egg. That was quite exciting. But wind came up. We made an egg this big, and we had a secret trapdoor in our stage. And we have two other dragons who had been his parents. And there were a series of role play games that all the local teenagers played. So everybody knew, all the local kids knew the dragon's parents, and the word had gotten out that the egg was going to hatch. And of course, we had had an ostrich egg for the original egg in the game, but now it had gotten very, very big. So there were about eight of us clinging to the giant paper egg, trying to keep it from blowing away. It got quite dramatic as he came up through the secret door in the stage. And actually, this is the daddy dragon. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but his son came up through the secret door in the stage.
Robin, you're going to have to keep on moving.
And broke through. So anyway, this is my first dancing mare. She started the horse dance for us. So pointing the way.
Several people in the room know Roger Wolger, the past life therapist, one of our best friends, and here we are mythically helping him celebrate his 50th birthday party. And this is a very early mask workshop. Would you point to us on the, you can probably recognize us. This is the 1975 Council Grove East Conference that Robin and I put on at the Mohonk Hotel right near us. And I think we had 70 attendees. And the whole purpose of the conference was living mythically. And boy, did we work hard at that.
And Christopher Whitmont was there.
Joseph Campbell came to one of them.
Yes.
And in fact, he was at another one, Council Grove East in Kentucky, where a lot of the whole conference was conducted in a cave.
We conducted this one on a mountain, outside, at night. Now, I didn't get in any of my masks. I have these big masks for puppets as well as little ones. This is an early mask for a Sedna play, which was first done out in Adad Esalen. And Sedna, of course, is the West Coast Native American goddess who was once an abused young girl who had her fingers cut off and was cast into the water as a sacrifice. It's a complicated story, so it's not, that's a rather simple rendition. But so Sedna is a grouchy old goddess who lives at the bottom of the waters, and she is the keeper of the animals. So you know this woman. She's the mother of the animals, in fact. And you have to comb her hair and be very polite to get the animals to come.
So the shaman has to go down to the bottom of the sea and talk nicely to her and comb her hair. And then we are told, when that has been done and she has given her blessing, all of a sudden there are fish in the net and seals come out of their blowholes and the caribou come across the tundra and there's plenty of food. So there's no food because the mother of the sea creatures is pissed off.
So we have a sun goddess hidden inside an angry goddess.
This is, again, a creation of Robin's.
Yeah. She was at the top of a 10-foot stepladder, and all the dancers and all the performers in the play were born out of her. So it was quite a lot of fun. So Stephen.
So I've always been into the martial arts, and I taught karate for many years. And this is my son Merlin, as about a rangy 15-year-old, and it was really important in his development to learn the martial arts. I recommend it for all kids. It gives kids, especially male kids, but it does a very different thing for women. It gives them a sense of poise and confidence and not having to be afraid of bullies. And with women, it gives them a feeling of security, and you can defend yourself if you're attacked. And this is about the same time that I taught a number of classes for women to teach them to defend themselves. And I'll just tell one very quick story. A little 4'11" Native American woman that I had taught was on the streets of New Paltz when there was a family altercation. I don't know whether it was a husband or a wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend, but this man was messing a woman up, and she ran away and tried to get away in her car, and he jumped on the hood and started pounding on the windows, and my little student, 4'11" student Tina, came up and said, excuse me, sir, I think this lady is trying to leave. Maybe so that everybody can cool down. And he said, oh, yeah, and he took a haymaker at her, and she very nicely ducked underneath it and did a tetsui in the solar plexus and knocked him flat, and she drove away. And I told my sensei, Hisashi Omichi, who's, I think, about 76 or 77 now, the story. He goes, that real karate.
And here is our daughter, who some of you know is a dancer and aerial choreographer. She's also studied martial arts. And she was my son and his best buddies all say that she was their G.I. Joe doll. And they dressed her up, and they would hang her up and tie her up in various knots, and then she'd get out. So now she does stunts, and she can get out of anything, and she can be hanging upside down and untie her shoelaces or whatever. And it's all because of the training.
She, by the way, is Madonna's... she's not about to decapitate the English sheepdog. She might want to. She's posing, I think.
She was actually going through moves. But
one of our recent stresses was that just about the same time, a little before we had learned the bad news about Abby, Gwen is Madonna's stunt double. She looks like Madonna, except Madonna isn't as good looking as she is. Madonna always goes, "Where's Gwen? Gwen, I need her on a set. I've got to do something dangerous." And just last week, Gwen was forced as part of a job to jump off a building, and she broke both her feet. So
actually, only one is real.
She was in surgery the day that Robin was getting prepped for her biopsy. So she has a little baby now, and she's on crutches. And she was on her way out to California to help with her her brother and family and so on. So this was the heyday, the 1990s up to about 2000, when we had shamans visiting the farm just about every week. And these are the Barrios brothers and sister. And I was able to help Carlos Barrios, the handsome gentleman on the left there. He's the real scholar in the family.
Yeah.
Help him get a book published on the Mayan prophecies in the United States. It was published by Inner Traditions.
They are Maya, and Carlos is also trained as an anthropologist, which makes him somewhat estranged from his people, but they really call on Carlos when they have to do something complicated, like organize a conference.
In 2000, we put on a conference called The Dance of the Eagle and the Condor in Guatemala, which is where they're from. They're from Antigua in Guatemala, and the condor is the bird of South America, the eagle, the sacred bird of North America, and then, as Carlos Barrios on the right there said, the Quetzal bird, the sacred bird of Central America, flew up to meet them in the air. We had 80 shamans gathered together, and about 40...
It wasn't easy.
Americans and Europeans, and it was quite a circus. Unfortunately, we put the scheduling in the hands of the shamans. And there's a book written by a friend of mine, Evan Pritchard, called No Word for Time, and that was how the scheduling went.
Carlos Gerardo is almost nonverbal, but he is a natural geek. We were present when he was presented with his first computer, a little laptop, because these two did a lot of work on the mini Mayan alphabets, and which are in the keeping of different elders. And it was Carlos's job to go around and placate all the elders and get them to give them the information so they could put it all together. And it was Gerardo who actually did the math. And when we said, and he just was given this computer, and within moments, without even speaking remotely any English, he just is inside the computer, far beneath the operating system. And we said, you want to tell this?
Well, I want to tell the Carlos story.
Well, I'll just finish this then. We said, what just happened here? And Carlos said, we originated the computer. He said, Mayan Indians are brilliant at this stuff. This is what we do. We think mathematically. And it was very, very interesting to see it in action. Okay, you go ahead.
So I was assisting Carlos in a shamanic ceremony on a mountaintop not far from our place. And quite a storm began to blow up. And we had to hike at least a half a mile to get up to this mountaintop. And there are 20 ideograms or glyphs in the Mayan divinatory system. And Carlos invoked these. Some of them are elements, some of them are objects, some of them are gods or people. And so Carlos was blowing you have to drink very strong rum or put it in your mouth, and then you spew it out on the fire. It's called the sopla, and it bursts into flame. It's a shamanic effect. He was doing that, and he was saying, and now I summon, I forget the name, Kaik, the eagle. And all of a sudden, I turn my head and I look up, and there in the clouds is an eagle circling around. And then he goes, and now I summon Ik, the wind. All of a sudden, a huge gust of wind goes around the mountaintop. I mean, it's yep. Very cool,
Carlos,
when you're in a natural place and everybody's open to the mysteries. Okay.
And Carlos is good at this stuff. His ceremonies work. They're pretty impressive. Let me get this thing going right again.
No, wrong.
Wrong way. Okay.
Yep. You gotta
point. All right.
That way. Okay. Change the slide on.
Okay. Here's another shaman.
Okay. People. Now Merlin is a bit older. Mm-hmm. He's clearly enjoying himself because we've all been drinking ayahuasca. And the padrino of the ayahuasca, Alex Polari de Alverga, I did a book with him called...
Oh, I spelled his name wrong. Sorry.
Forest of Visions.
Or...
Robin, okay. Mm-hmm. It's called Forest of Visions, and it's available. We've had it translated. The original was Oguia de Floresta. And so here we are on our farm up on top of the mountain, and we have just done ceremony. There was a big ceremony involving lots of people, about 50 people, and drinking the medicine on the farm that night. And we had sat up there and we were talking, Merlin and Carlos and I were talking about Carlos said there's something uneasy in the land
Alex.
Around here. I told him about the Dutch settlers and the English and the Indians and how they all didn't get along together. And he said, oh, okay. He said, we'll work on that. So that night in the ceremony, he starts singing this particular song. He has channeled many hymns. He has his own hinario. And he starts singing the song about summoning the spirits. Well, I can tell you that it felt like that little building in our center was going to take off like the house in The Wizard of Oz. I mean, the swirling wind around that place was just amazing, and everything felt a little different afterwards. And Alex was conducting the ceremony. He looked over at me and kind of winked. It's called Os Espíritos Están Llegando, the spirits are coming. And boy, okay, keep going.
Okay. This is building our house. people ask us how we got those huge trusses up there, and Steve always says, well, the skyhook. But this is actually the job of getting them up. The wood was cut on our place and milled by a friend. We have our own mill now. Oh, and here's the little ninja. Okay. That one was supposed to be after the other, but there she is.
Keep going. Yeah. Oh.
And that's the first image that you saw there.
And that's our daughter Gwen and her fiance Billy.
Excuse me, dancing. Didn't mean to. Yeah, that's actually on our place in the front pasture, and they were doing a performance, working on a performance piece, rehearsing it with their team, and somebody took this nice picture of them, and they're using pigment powders. Just where all the strange skin color comes from.
And this was last year at our Beltane Festival. We're waiting till all the illness and suffering stops in our family to decide if we're going to celebrate a 50th at some point involving everybody. It doesn't feel very celebratory right now with everybody injured. Okay.
I need to get this back for the dream art. And so I just need to get my image back, and I'll do that just quickly. You go ahead.
We're limited in terms of the time we have.
I just want to run it at the last then, because that's important to me.
Okay. Can you take this?
I'll take it over here.
And I do have, I was going to leave this till last. We do have a video that we think we can show, but we're not sure. I have it on my computer of some of the mythic dramas and performances of aerialistic. So I would like to talk a little bit about the relationship between dream and myth. And several people have said, well, we want you to talk about dreams and symbols. My book, The Mythic Imagination, was published in 1990. And the way that I decided to do it, it took me about almost 20 years in the conceptual stage. Joseph Campbell said, the next mythology cannot be predicted any more than tonight's dream, because a myth is not something projected from the brain, but experienced from the heart. And so that is the way of dreams as well. You can't predict exactly what your dream is going to be about tonight. It has a certain spontaneity to it. And like a flower or a hurricane or a human gesture, its basic purpose is an expression of the life force. And in the book that I'm doing, this is what I call standing naked before the dream. Now, I promised Lorraine, Robin, I'm going to just put up the...
You put up what you want people to look at.
Table of contents of the next book, which will be out in 2015. Technology. When we were conceptualizing with Lorraine, I told her about this book. She said, I want that for the last... this is the... By the way, we talked about Abby in the meeting yesterday. This is Abby, and this is our daughter. Here is their company, but we'll come back to that, and we'll see if we have time for that. I want to make sure we have lots of time to do the... Oops. I put together a group of poems based on dreams. And in our dream group,